From the Pleasance Theatre at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, we present Banter. Please welcome your host, Mr. Andrew Collins.
Hello, and welcome to Banter, a new panel game for Radio 4, where we try to establish what's hot and what's not. Joining me to hammer out top threes in categories covering anything from playwrights to PlayStation are Richard Herring.
Hello.
Russell Howard.
Hello.
Lucy Porter.
Hello.
And Will Smith.
Hello.
Okay, before the show, each of our panellists was given a different category. They were asked to write down their top three for that category and to put their answers into a noisy envelope, which are obviously the best kind for radio. Between the rest of us, we'll be trying to come up with top threes for each of the four categories, with points scored for good suggestions, good objections, and there'll be 5 points for any who guess my personal favourite. And that's what they'll hear. Remember, I am the law, and if you fight me, I will win. So, as Pete Doherty might say, let's crack on. With our first top three. Our first category is your top three children's authors. Now, in each round, whoever filled in the envelope for that particular category sits out the chat. In this case, that's Russell Howard. So if you'd sit this one out, please, Russell. So, Richard Herring, would you like to start us off?
It's definitely got to be Roald, My Father Couldn't Spell Ronald Dahl. I can't believe you haven't rung your buzzer. What's going on? What's happening here? Anyone who's come up with a main character called Willy Wonka in a children's book, for me, has got to be the best. So, no, definitely Roald Dahl would be my top. And I also like Hugh Lofting.
Never heard of Hugh Lofting.
He wrote Dr. Doolittle.
Oh, I've heard of Dr. Doolittle.
Yeah, he could talk to the animals. I can talk to the animals. I just can't understand what they're saying back. It's not that impressive.
The thing with children's authors is that they all seem quite embarrassed about being children's authors. They all have names that you can't tell what their real name is, like C.S. Lewis, J.K. Rowling. They don't even give you their full name. Roald Dahl can't be his real name. J.R.R. Tolkien. They're so embarrassed. Anyone over that side got a favourite children's author not been mentioned so far? Lucy?
My favourite children's author is, I think it's a bit of a girly choice, though, so I doubt that it will be anyone else's favourite, was Judy Blume, who...
Oh, right? Yeah.
The ladies! Judy Blume's Forever was... There was... Didn't it always fell open at the same pages, didn't it, ladies? Absolutely.
Is that like James Herbert for girls?
Dr. Seuss is another good one that I like, the rhyming thing.
See, that's not a real name, is it, Dr. Seuss?
He's not, probably not a real doctor.
Yeah, of course he's like Dr. Fox.
You don't get him to...
Lemony Snicket, that's not a real name, is it? It's not.
That would be cruel, parents.
Is there a children's author that's proud to be one? Out there, I think not. Except my own. There's a clue.
Roger Hargreaves.
Yes! First 5 points go to Richard Herring. I'm going to give 1 point to Russell for keeping mainly quiet so far in the discussion, which is good. And we have to give a couple of points to Lucy, I think, for just getting the entire female section of the audience on her side.
And just bewildering a lot of men.
Yeah.
As well.
I'm definitely getting her books now. Yeah. I've heard about them. Just my thing.
Will Smith.
Can I make a play for the boys in the audience by mentioning Hergé?
Oh.
Tintin. Tintin. Yeah, I mean, it harks back to a much more innocent age where a young man could live with an old sailor and an eccentric professor. And a dog. Fantastic. Also, of course, Tolkien. I mean, without Tolkien, I've had to find a whole other way of repelling women during my teenage years. It was ideal. It was like a force field. It was wonderful.
Will, I'm going to give you an extra point if you can say Tintin in the Belgian pronunciation.
Tintin.
Yes, you can have a point for that. Yeah. Although, it does sound rubbish that way.
Yeah. I don't think we should have Hergé because of his early racist works. Tintin hates black people.
Well, we should really be putting them. Enid Blyton in there as well, shouldn't we, then, if we're going for the casual racism.
That was harmless racism. That was harmless
was
British
English
racism.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like that Belgian racism. I hate Belgians.
You can have a point for that. I almost took one off, but no, come on. We're all racist here.
We forgot one very important children's author, Dan Brown.
Oh, here we go.
Good for 9-year-olds.
So, do you know why I like Roger Hargreaves?
He's your dad?
Without... No. Without the Mr. Men and the Little Misses, there would have been no Spice Girls. Because they were clearly the inspiration behind the Spice Girls.
But that's the problem, because it gets more... Like, the early ones are all good, like Mr. Small and Mr. Noisy. It's already basic stuff. And then it gets really more obscure, like Little Miss Clubfoot. That's just cruel.
The actual correct, real best actual writer of children's books is Philip Pullman. That is the correct
answer. Yes, that
Philip
is
Pullman.
Actually the correct
one. Yeah. Like, anyone who writes a children's book about God dying, for me, has got to be... Sorry, I've spoilt it a bit there. is fantastic for me.
The best way to win points, of course, is to coincide your own top threes with the one that's in that noisy envelope. But don't open it yet, Russell. We have to hear the top threes from the people. Richard, what are your top three children's authors, please?
I think Roald Dahl, definitely got to be there. Philip Pullman, Hugh Lofting.
Okay, then, now to Lucy, your top three, please.
I shall go for Philip Pullman, Dr. Seuss, and Enid Blyton.
Okay, ooh, Will Smith, what are your top three?
Hergé, minus the early works. Tolkien, and Beatrix Potter.
Ah, first mention of Beatrix Potter. Time then for the noisy envelope. Let us hear from Russell Howard. What were your original top three, please, Russell?
They were, Philip Pullman.
Yes.
Points.
Roald Dahl.
Yes.
And J.K. Rowling.
Oh,
wow.
You're perfume. You sicken me. You're one of those people who reads the cover with the adult cover, aren't you? Because you think that covers up the fact that people still know it's a children's book.
No. I read it with the children's cover, wearing children's clothes and eating sweets. That's how I read it.
So we will go to the scores then. Richard Herring got 2 points. Two of yours were in Russell's envelope, which is good. Lucy, one of yours was in Russell's envelope. Will Smith, out there on his own in so many ways. No points for Will. Russell, he gets 3 because 3 people matched with 3 of his choices. So at the end of that first round, we find Lucy Porter and Will Smith tagging along at the back with 3 each. Russell Howard has 4 points, but in the lead is Richard Herring with 8. OK, now for one of our quickfire rounds. This one is called Either Or, where we award points not for the answer, but for the reason behind it. So, Russell, you're up first. Invincible or invisible?
Invisible, without a doubt.
Why?
Well, you're weighing up immortality or watching girls in a shower.
Russell, I'll give you 2 sexist points. Mr. Richard Herring, to be or not to be?
It's the first and only question on the beekeeper's exam. if you put to be, you get in.
That's how it'll do. It's a pity it's not a buzzer round, isn't it? I will give you 3 points for that.
Thank you.
Because I got applause and I didn't even do anything. Lucy, your conundrum is this. Peter Andre or Peter Stringfellow? It's a tough one.
Oh, can I not have both? I feel really sick. I have actually seen Peter Stringfellow semi-nude. Mm. Yeah, I know. He was in a dressing room once and I walked in on him in a towel. He wears a mixture of 2 different aftershaves. As if... natural pheromones aren't enough to attract the women. Anyway, I'm going to go for Peter Stringfellow because the older men are
more gentle.
I don't think he's up to
much. I imagine. I'll give you a point for being honest and for seeing him semi-naked. Will Smith, Dante's Inferno, or Joe Dante's Gremlins 2, The New Batch?
Dante's Inferno is obviously the cornerstone of European literature and is far more impressive to leave by your bed. I'm working my way through it line by line. It's taken me 10 years, I'm only halfway through. Isn't nearly as impressive if you're talking about Gremlins 2.
as a seduction tool. Well,
it's better than Hergé.
For madness, I'll give you 2 points. We'll add these points to our scoreboard and move straight on to our next top 3. Will Smith, you're sitting this one out, so please sit back as we hammer out the top 3 non-ball sports. Can you start us off, please, Russell Howard?
Kabaddi. That was a brief glimpse, wasn't it? It was fantastic, kabaddi. Fox hunting.
That was great.
That's now a non-fox sport as well.
They could just have a ginger ball. Just kick it and chase it.
It's ginger, I'll chase it.
Kiss chase. and darts.
Darts. Anyone else have a feeling for darts they would need Love to share darts. With us here? Anyone else want to support
Any
the
sport
call for darts?
Men with breasts. That's great. To be honest, I don't really do sport.
No?
No. Kiss chase was a nice suggestion. I don't know. Televised kiss chase. Celebrity kiss chase.
You, Peter Stringfellow, Peter Andre. You run like the wind. Come on, let's go sporting. Will Smith, you're a sporting individual.
I'm also sitting out this round, you clown.
Yes, you are. You know why I didn't know that? Because you keep talking. Anybody got any yen for the horse racing sports?
I like the ones where they make the horses dance. That's good. I mean, it's a bit cruel, but they make them... You've seen them dance. No, they do. You've seen this in the Olympics. They're dancing horses.
Is it like electric shocks or something that they give?
They make them dance. There's a bloke sitting on the top and the horse is kind of... What's it called?
Does anyone know what... Is it
dressage. See, they all knew. Didn't I say before the show, I'll get the entire audience to shout out dressage? You said that'll never happen.
You can have a point for doing that. Anyone else like the Steve Redgrave sport? That rowing
well,
thing?
Well, last year I did some sport for the first time in my life. I did two sports. Rowing like Steve Redgrave. I was taught to row by Sir Steve Redgrave and Matthew Pinson for a celebrity rowing-based show. We had Jonathan Aitken as our cox, the ex-MP and liar, who's 6 foot three.
He says he's 6 foot three.
He says he's 6 foot three. He was very nice, but it was a bit of Tolkien because we were all very short and he was very tall, so we called him Gandalf and we were the hobbits. He didn't like. We bought him a Gandalf hat to wear. Jonathan Aitken wouldn't wear that. He would stand for UKIP though, but he wouldn't wear Gandalf. Strange.
See, I'm not just giving points for people who have met other famous people. I will give you a point for having been in a boat with Jonathan Aitken.
Yes,
because that's a good story. That will stand you in good stead for years.
And marathon. I ran a marathon last year. That's a good sport. See it.
Well, I didn't have marathon, but I had that really long race that they do at the Olympics where it goes on for so long that you wonder if it's ever going to end, which is close enough to a marathon for you to have 5 points.
Fantastic.
I hate that because I know you're winning already.
Fantastic.
And you have done very well there.
And also with marathon running, it's the only time you can go to the toilet in public and it's fine. And I like that.
I'm going to force you into your top threes now to find out what Will has in his envelope. Richard?
I'm going to go for marathon running, rowing... And poker, which I believe is a sport which I'm going to take part in the World Championships of next year.
Very clever.
It's the only sport I can take part in the World Championship.
Russell?
I've got kabaddi, darts and fox hunting.
OK. It's not a sport, it's a way of life. Lucy?
Well, badger baiting.
That's a fine old tradition, don't knock it.
OK, we'll go with darts, dressage.
Yeah.
Now I know what it's called. Yeah. And something else. I haven't thought...
Tiddlywinks.
Tiddlywinks, yeah, go on.
OK, let us hear the envelope first, Will, and then open it. Oh, yes.
Ski jumping. Because of the very real possibility that someone might die. Jousting. Same reasons. And darts.
Ooh.
Oh.
For the same reasons.
So 1 point for Russell for darts, 1 point for Lucy for darts, and that's two then for Will, who matched up with two people and got 2 points. Well done. And at the end of that round, Lucy Porter sadly is at the back with 5. We have Will Smith on 7 points. Russell Howard has 11 points, but still in the lead. Richard Herring with 18 points. OK, time for another quickfire round, and this time it's simply the best. Now, we get the audience involved here. You'll be pleased about this. So, guests, I'd like all four of you to write down your favourite colour of Smartie, please. Because, as the audience arrived today, we asked them what their favourite colour of Smartie was. Now, our guests will score points if their favourite is the same as the overall audience favourite. Remember, the views of this audience on Smartie colour are not necessarily the views of the BBC. So then, Will Smith first, what is your favourite colour of Smartie?
Blue.
Blue. Russell, what's your colour?
Blue.
Blue. Wow, it's all blues. Lucy?
I've gone for orange.
Orange.
Yes! That's my people. I knew. I looked at you, I thought, they're not idiots. They're not.
They did just cheer the colour of a sweep.
Yeah. And Richard, your colour. Say it, Richard.
Blankety blank orange, oh yeah. Orange, because orange is the only one that tastes of anything. Exactly. All the others are the same. Orange is the only one with a flavour.
Exactly.
Isn't that another myth?
No.
No, it's absolutely true. There is orange oil is in the ingredients of... how tragic am I that I've actually heard? Yep, there's orange oil in the ingredients.
Well,
and you should never eat anything blue. It's against nature. There is nothing blue.
Well, let me tell you the results of the audience survey.
Yeah.
There are a couple down here in the section called Other. White.
White.
Burnt sienna.
Very good.
And peanut. Which isn't a colour. And the winning colour was blue with 40%.
Why 40%. Did you cheer orange?
Yeah, it's because it's people insane. Who like the orange ones are more passionate.
Yeah, you see how cool everyone who voted for blue was.
They're all dead because of the E numbers in the blue. They're all mentally ill, they can't speak.
5 points to Will and 5 points to Russell and no points
I'd
to the
I'd rather
orange
have
people.
No points than yeah. vote for blue.
So with that, we move on to our next top three. And this is your top three film series. That is films of three or more, i.e. The Godfather counts, and anything above The Godfather counts as well. Lucy Porter, you're sitting this one out. You have chosen your top three film series, or franchises, as they say in the business. So let us then go to Richard Herring.
I like Dumb and Dumber, only because the sequel was called Dumb and Dumberer. And then, like, you know, they start getting into trouble then, don't they? It's sort of Dumb and Dumberer.
In so much trouble, they never did a third one.
There was a third one. Wasn't there a third one with... I think Dumb and Dumberer was the third one, wasn't it?
Can I just say there
Dumb
was only two?
Yeah, there's only two.
There was Dumb and Dumber and Dumb and Dumberer.
Police Academy.
Yeah, seven of those.
You're losing points for that, Richard, because you have broken the rules. You didn't think about it enough, and you're going to lose 5 points.
Oh, no. Just because I like orange Smarties.
You've got a Tolkien fan down the end there.
Well, yeah, I'd go without saying it. Lord of the Rings is, of course, the pinnacle of Western art in all its forms. End of discussion. Why aren't you buzzing? Come on. Okay, fine, fine. Highlander, there's four of those. It's great fun trying to make sense of the plots, because Highlander 2 doesn't relate to Highlander 1. Highlander 3 relates to 1, but not 2. Highlander 4 ignores 2 and 3 and relates to 1. It's mental. There's graphs, there's charts I've drawn. You can't make sense of it. It's impossible. It's like Fermat's theorem of film or whatever it is. It's just absolutely insane. Star Wars, first three, obviously fantastic. The prequels, obviously excrement. The disgrace. George Lucas has wasted 28 years of my life for that final one, which was dreadful. I don't care what anyone said. It was absolutely dreadful. Supposedly Anakin Skywalker... I've got a public platform for this. Supposedly Anakin Skywalker, he turns to the dark side. He becomes Darth Vader because he's had a vision that his wife is going to die in childbirth. Now, he lives in an age of incredible scientific advancement. He's got a cybernetic hand. Surely, if you're having premonitions about your wife dying in childbirth, the correct response is to go, let's get you the best antenatal care in the galaxy. Thank you.
You can have 6 points for that. One for every Star Wars film. Russell?
Most valuable primates, most versatile primates, and most extreme primates. An incredible trilogy. The first one is about ice hockey, and the opening that is, Kevin is the best ice hockey player in New York. There's only one problem. Kevin is a chimp. And that's pretty much your afternoon solved there.
You can have points because no one else in the room has seen these films.
Will's seen him, he went mental.
I mean, apart from Will, DVD. Obviously.
He's ice hockey, then the skateboarding, isn't there?
Yeah, that's extreme primates.
And then is it snowboarding?
No, vertical primates when he's climbing.
Which isn't, to be fair, isn't that impressive for a monkey, is it?
I've got more. I haven't even got into Soccer Dog the movie or Soccer Dog European Cup. Soccer Dog, The Road to Wembley. Have you seen the Soccer Dog films? They're incredible.
I'm going to have to leave
now. You literally see a Labrador...
and buy them.
You see a Labrador do an overhead kick.
Soccer Dog is new to me. You can have 3 points for Soccer Dog.
I want to try and guess what yours is. Carry on, Bond.
Carry on Bond. There was only one Carry On Bond. No, Carry On.
Carry On.
Yeah, it's my favourite. Because I like the saucy seaside postcard humour.
Yes, it's good.
But Carry On Bond. Was there actually a Carry On Bond film?
No.
That'd be a great.
There should be.
Yeah.
Oh, Austin Powers is good. When he did three of those.
Yeah.
That was good.
Oh, you finally joined the conversation.
Yeah. And Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, the monkeys reminded me.
I think we're sated now. Film talk, which is good. So let us have our top threes then. Richard, you first, please. Your top three film, series, or franchises.
Because you seem to be taking points off me, I'm going to try and suck up to you a bit by saying Carry On, Andrew. I'm the same as you. Planet of the Apes is definitely the best. That won't be on there. And I'm going to go for Alien. Alien 3.
Russell?
Most valuable primate. If
Lucy has chosen that, I'll give you all of my points.
The Soccer Dog Trilogy. And Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Will Smith.
Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, first three, and Emmanuel.
There's a one with monkeys with her, isn't there?
Yeah.
So then, let us open the envelope, Lucy Porter. Put us out of our misery, because it is getting quite miserable in here.
Most valuable primate. Oh.
Ah. Let's have a look at that. We need to see that.
I would like to change my list because I've been so convinced by Russell Howard's enthusiasm for most valuable primate. I went for Star Wars, the first three. Clearly, I'm not going to enrage Will Smith with anything else. The Godfather films.
Oh, thank you.
And then, when I wrote this, I did put Police Academy.
Remember the bloke who made the funny noises?
Yeah.
I could
never tire of
good
that.
Good guy. He does butlins now.
Yeah. We have one match from Will Smith in Lucy's list, which means she gets a point as well. At the end of that round, we have three joint winners with 19 points each. We have Will Smith, Russell Howard and Richard Herring. But at the back, I'm afraid to say, Lucy Porter with 6. Okay, time for our final quickfire round called Who Would Win, which is a series of hypothetical bouts of anything from bare knuckle fighting to sudden death tiddlywinks. Again, it's points for reasons, not answers. So, Lucy Porter, who would win in a fight between Wayne Rooney and John Prescott?
I think I'd like to see them both stripped to the waist, fighting, greased up, and I think Prescott would fight dirty and win.
Stripped to the waist from which direction? We didn't specify, it could alter the points, Lucy.
And that's to find out the answer, do we now bring them then? Yeah. Here they are!
I'm going to give you 8 points.
Bless.
She's not going to win now. Okay, I move now to Will Smith. Who would win at chess out of Gladys Knight and Roy Castle? I'm really sorry.
I think that it would be Roy Castle, because he was actually very known for playing dirty chess, which, by that I mean that he holds a gun under the table, not that he daubs the board with his own waist to try and distract the other player. I'm leaving now.
I'm not giving you any points for that. I don't buy into that. Right then, Russell Howard, who would win in a game of Monopoly, Donald Trump or Alan Sugar? Wow, this
You're
has
right,
got the audience on the edge of their seat.
I've never played Monopoly, so I don't know. Can we change the board game? Can we not make it Hungry Hungry Hippos? Because then straight away it's Sugar, because Trump's fringe are probably getting his eyes and be unable to manipulate the hippos enough to make them so they've ate all their balls.
You can have a point for that.
Thanks.
Richard Herring.
Yes.
Your hypothetical is this. Who would win at noughts and crosses, Jackie O or Malcolm X? Come on, they're both dead.
Well, you know, it's very difficult to win a game of noughts and crosses if you're an adult. I don't know. I think it would be a draw.
Can it be a draw?
Well, it can't be anything but, you know. The only thing you do, you can put your, if you're not, or cry, you can put it like in the centre thing and hope they don't notice and get... And then you can get, if they don't spot it, you can put, then you've got two lines and there's no way of stopping you. That's the only tactic. But most grown-ups know that tactic.
Okay, you can have a point for being a grown-up.
Thank you.
Right, we'll add all those points to the scores and go straight into our final top three. Richard Herring, you're sitting this one out, and the rest of you were after your top three items on a Chinese takeaway menu. Lucy Porter, please start, and I'll need more than numbers.
Oh. My favourite thing on the Chinese menu is the crispy seaweed. Oh, because it fizzes up in your mouth like space dust. It's brilliant.
And it's not seaweed.
And it's not seaweed, which is brilliant. Just putting something on the menu that's completely wrongly described. That's just wonderful.
Is it cabbage?
Not actually seaweed.
No.
I'm such an idiot. I just found that really exciting.
And then you get the noodles. Have you ever put the noodles on your head and pretended it's your hair?
8 points.
And...
Will.
Rice. And chips. I like Chinese food, but I can't think of arguing for my favourite. I often just sort of decide by looking at the menu and seeing the house speciality.
What's good tonight? Do you ask that?
What you do is you go, what do you recommend? And wink. I love it.
And they say rice and chips, don't they?
Hot and sour soup's nice. That's nice.
That's very nice.
That is nice, yes.
It's very, very light broth.
Both hot and sour.
And the crispy chili thing, fresh. Pork.
You're all trying to get my favourite, aren't you? I'll give you a clue. It's something on toast.
Sesame toast.
You can all have 5 points, which is like not giving any points. That is your lot, I'm afraid. So for the last time, can I have your top three, starting with Will, please?
I'm not just trying to suck up, but the prawn sesame toast is very, very nice. And the prawns and batter, that's very nice as well. And the lemon chicken, I like. It's very fattening, but it's nice.
Lucy?
I'm going for crispy seaweed, egg fried rice, and a tofu based dish.
Russell?
Spare ribs, hot and sour soup, and prawn chow mein.
Everybody's hungry now.
I'm really hungry.
Richard, sate our hunger.
So let's have a look and see what I ordered. One, that crispy duck pancake stuff that I mentioned. Can't think what it's called. Two, spring rolls. Three, some rice. I think Lucy got.
I get points.
We'll give you that. That's it then. At the end of the final round, our top three losers with 26 points each are Richard Herring, Russell Howard, and Will Smith, which means that Lucy Porter has won with 30 points. I'm starving, so that has to be all from us today on this show. A big thank you to all my guests, obviously. And remember, if someone comes up to you at a party and tells you that the best film of all time is A Matter of Life and Death, tell them it's really not that important. Goodbye.
Banter was presented by Andrew Collins and featured Richard Herring, Russell Howard, Lucy Porter and Will Smith. The show was devised by Tim Barber and was produced by Richard Grocock. Banter is an Avalon production for BBC Radio 4.